than I have that it's possible to acknowledge the appearance of a limitation while simultaneously keeping in mind and heart one's own divine promise. It is possible to do that. And if you will attempt to do it, you'll find that the obstetric is going to start to work for you, that you really can move into that space where the divine is revealing itself to you. Then I have as step two here, while acknowledging the seeming imperfection, find within a true and deep desire for this imperfection to be eradicated. Let's face it, we don't always want to get rid of those things. A lot of those so-called places in us that don't coincide with being, we rather like, and we want to hold on with all of our might. So just even this second point may take a little time. And in some issues it may be easy, and in other issues it may be really hard. But you have to somehow find a desire within yourself to eradicate that particular imperfection. And at each point, you really have to desire with all your heart for that imperfection to be eradicated. In other words, I have here, you have to hope and wish and want and desire and long and pray. I just put down everything I could think of, you know, that would really say something within that you really want to improve at that particular point, and that you want to come into line with the essence of that specific issue which is being addressed. And with all your heart, that specific place within you, you really want it to be clear. And remember, we've gone over just not too long ago why you want it to be clear. Because if there's a place in my consciousness that is not clear, then there's a place that I'm deflecting. There's a place that I'm not picking up the energy that is really going on in being and that is really going on in life itself and therefore in my life. So I am preventing some kind of blessing in my life if I'm not clear at that place. So I really don't think it's too difficult to desire to want to be clear. Because if you look at it in the correct perspective, none of us are really masochists. You know, we don't really want to suffer. And therefore, if you are suffering, it's an indication that at some place in your consciousness, you're not clear. And so the desire has to be to find that place and then to be clear in that place. So one must really long then to know the essence of the spiritual fact that you're addressing or function, to feel it, to be so aligned that you really totally sense it from within. And you all really know the difference, don't you? You know, it's like a first stage to see something. But then as you dwell with it and flow with it and focus on it and love it and adore it, you begin to feel it from within. It starts to come from within. And then sometimes you have to stay there for a long time until it leavens and leavens and leavens. And then all of a sudden it's like you move into that space. It's no longer outside of you. You're just there. In other words, that place is clear. It's just clear at that point. And you can identify then and be one with that particular fact or function within being. Okay, then 3, 4, and 5 here, they may seem a little disguised, but you'll really note that they refer back to life, truth, and love in the law of interdependence. But life, truth, and love on the absolute level. I have now allow the creative impulse within to bring that desired point of perfection into expression. Let it spring forth from the center of your being. Bring out the desired quality or function by stating to consciousness, let there be whatever it is in me. You know, it's not enough just to say, do I have this, or am I functioning properly, or even to say, gee, I wish I could, or I long to, or I want to, but what are you going to do about it afterwards? How can you address the situation to change it, to alter it? And I have found that this is an alterative. It really absolutely does it. You just say to consciousness, okay, let there be that particular fact or function within me. And then in 4, in truth here, and I know that it is, and I know that it will be. You affirm and trust that it'll be so, and you recognize that that quality or function that you appear to be seeking is really an intrinsic part of your own being already. That it really isn't something outside of your being. It's just that you're really trying to tap deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of your own being. Right? So it really is intrinsically there anyway. And then 5, you really have to embrace and accept the promise, knowing that really from a higher dimension, absolute Christian Science, right, from a more holographic point of view, qualitatively and functionally, it already exists. Whatever it is that you appear to be seeking, whether it's a fact or a function, a quality or a function, it's already going on in your own being. And consequently, the quality or state of perfection sought and acknowledged is already established in a higher dimension. So it's established in the higher dimension of my own being, not just a dimension of being itself, but within my being. Therefore, I can cherish it and welcome it and hold it and say, you know, this is part of me. All I can tell you is that it works. You know, if I open myself up through scientific obstetrics, and then in essence I do this law of interdependence in the word, that quality or function begins to be established in me. It comes to birth within me. It does. But now, you can't ask amiss. You can't ask for anything. You know, you don't want to be a huge material success. That's not the spiritual question. Okay, so now you can turn the page, and the fact is that we go on to say, okay, where can I find these spiritual questions? Actually, you can find them within law itself, and many of us have done that for the last 10 years. Just as we have flowed the laws themselves, those questions have come to us in consciousness, and so we have done, consciously or unconsciously, exercises similar to this in order to bring ourselves into accord with the law. But Max has done such a magnificently wonderful thing. He has written this incredible book, which is a lifetime of work. Some of you know it and some of you don't. It's called The Epitomes for the spiritually structured interpretation of the Christian Science textbook. It is the culmination of all of the lectures and talks that he has given for many, many, many years. For in each instance, as he has interpreted chapters of the textbook, he himself, through the method that he has elucidated for all of you, has brought forth the essence of each chapter, has brought it forth in what he calls the form of epitomes, which then can be transformed back into law. The epitomes represent the 7x7 mesh, for instance, in the chapter of prayer, of the law of interdependence in the word. So I cannot think of a better place to first go for the spiritual questions that we were asking. So for the rest of the time that we meet today, I'm going to go over with you those deep spiritual questions that are addressed in just the mind portion of the chapter of prayer. And then in our next session together in February, we will go over as many more of those sections together as we can. If we finish them all, terrific, then we'll go on to something else. If not, it may go into March until we can finish with them. But we want to do them in a very deep way and very thoroughly and with a great deal of adoration and love. I also would like to do it in such a manner with you today that you can really go home and work with this afterwards, because I know in the time that I have worked with it, it has totally changed my experience. And I know you've heard me say that before of the laws, and that's true. They did totally change my experience, and they are continuing to do so. And this indeed is a law, and this is just a specific place value that I have worked on now for quite some time. But let me, for example, start with the beginning of prayer, not by reading the textbook in an atomistic way, but by starting right from the findings that Max pulled out and pulling them back into law. It starts out, prayer is a spiritual understanding of the infinite being, which through unselfed love brings us into unity with the perfect nature of that being. Prayer consists of a true desire to know the infinite God as it is, to penetrate through the veil of the unknown until one perceives the ideas that comprise it, enabling one thereby to unify with its all-knowing mind. Well, that's a great mouthful, and it's very deep, and it may take a while to really penetrate all that that means. But certainly, as Max did, I have to first ask myself, what constitutes a true desire? And I have to, along with he and Mrs. Eddy, say that a willingness to let our desires be molded by an infinite, all-knowing intelligence is the first step. And so, to answer Betty's question, and to fulfill the requirement of this text, I ask myself, am I truly willing to let all my desires, my prayers, be molded by divine intelligence and not by my human intellect? That's really an enormous question. Am I willing not to conjure up images in my mind, but allow the impulse of the divine mind to initiate the image? I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. But how many things do I conjure up in my own mind that I think might be desirable and then go out to get them? You see, at the very first, the very beginning place value, how far off we are. But you know, if you don't get that one straight, you're not going to get the other 48 straight. So, I mean, that just gives you a clue of how much work we all have to do. But I'll tell you, it's only magic. I mean, if I create an image in my mind and I set out to achieve it, that's magic. It's coming out of my mentality, a mortal mind, an intellect. The conception obviously is limited because it isn't comprehensive enough. And I don't really know what the true image is. It's just a fabrication, right, in my mind. So, I have to be willing to let that sense of human intellect go. And so I say here, to whatever degree I am unwilling, I sincerely desire, hope, want, pray, long, whatever, to be willing. I wish to allow the infinite, all-knowing intelligence to be the creative source behind my desires, that which initiates my prayers. In other words, let that impulse of mind, right? Let there be light. Let that impulse of mind initiate your prayers, initiate your desires. Let it decide what is desirable. Let it decide what to pray for and how to pray. It's a big step for most of humanity, and it's the very first one she addressed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely basic. That's right. So let it be so, I have here. Let mind's creative intelligence originate my prayers. In other words, that's how to work with it, right? When I said, and let whatever it is be so, okay? Let it be so. Let mind's creative intelligence originate my prayers. Let it empower the impulse that molds my desires, right? Allow my thoughts to be fashioned by the creative imaging of this mind, though it may require the relinquishing of the mental images of my own creating. Yeah? You know? Let me do that. You know, it's just, you're not telling somebody out there to let you do it, obviously. This is just an affirmation of law within your own being. because being itself is declaring that which it is, then as being, I must declare that place value within me. If I don't, I'll be off of it. So I have to have the desire and the willingness to say, okay, let that mind initiate my prayers. Let it conjure up its images. I'm going to let go of all of mine because all they're doing is keeping me away from the perception of the true image and the true desire. I'll never know what the true desire is until I get all of mine out of the way and let them go. It's really that simple. So then within me, I have to, in truth, know that it's possible. I have to affirm that it's possible. I can perceive the images of an unlimited divine mind. In other words, don't be falsely humble, because you really are in there. Know that you can do that. Know that you can let go of all of the magic, all of the fantasies, all of the imaginings, all of the false images, all the false desires, all the false prayers. Know that you're capable of letting go of all that, and that you can do it. That you can perceive the images of an unlimited divine mind, and that you can be so open to the impulses of that mind that your own thoughts, my desires, my prayers will be merely extensions of it. Anything else is not clear. Fantasy will no longer control the passing images of my mind. Well, I'll tell you. She says, shucks. Yeah. Okay. But you know, I tell you, the fantasies of my own creating are not near as much fun, really, as the images of mind. And they do get really dreary. And you do have an enormous price to pay with them, because it's always up a dead-end street. You know, because they're just not coming from a clear place, so therefore they don't end up fulfilling either. So it isn't worth having them anyway. Okay, then in E here, you've got to welcome, okay? I welcome the divine conceptualizing force then that dwells within the all-knowing mind. I welcome whatever mind is, I welcome it within me. The force that is the motive power behind my every impulse. It is forming my images. It is fashioning that which appears as my desire, as my prayer. Whether I presently seem to be accepting this or not, from a more comprehensive dimension, absolute, right? I do. And the promise is kindled within me the minute I even address the subject. So I have to tell you that this is no work for cowards. This is really courageous fare here, because you are going to come to terms with every single solitary issue of your being, but one at a time. And not so bad, you know. You go gently into spirit, you just wish and long and pray, and at least you're moving in a correct direction. Okay, let's go on and see what number two is. I'm racing against the tape here. You can hear it. I'm speeding up like a train. Okay? Number two, which really correlates with mind as spirit. Okay? A willingness to have our motives for prayer absolutely pure. Okay? Which of us can really say that we don't have some kind of selfish motive when we pray? You know? But we have to clear it out. We just really have to clear it out. You have to know, are your prayers, are your desires coming from a clear place within? Am I illumined enough, really, to respond to the impulse of that divine mind? Can I reflect its desires in my prayers, or do I merely wish to bring into effect that which I've imaged in my mind as desirable? And it's a really deep, deep, deep issue. You know, are my motives really clear? And you don't always know that, because you don't always know if it's coming from a real clear place within you. So you really have to do some deep questioning and deep prayer. And I mean, I'm going over these questions like you can ask them to yourself and give yourself an answer right away. But the only answer that any of us could come up with superficially would be, no, I'm not in that spot. But I think if you'll listen quietly and deeply and from a place of stillness, you'll find that in some instances you really are clear. And in other instances, maybe not quite so clear. And then, of course, the ones that have to be corrected are the places where you're not quite so clear. And those will come to you. You know, it'll say, well, in all of these activities, your motives and your desires are really pretty clear. But over here, you know, your desire to have so-and-so do such-and-such is not really clear. So why don't you back off and go to mind and allow mind to initiate not only the image, but the motive within you for that prayer. And to recognize that should there really be any impure motives guiding my prayers, that I really do want them to be dissolved. I mean, you have to really come to terms with the fact that you want that impure motive to disappear. And if they lie hidden so that I can't even notice them, so I don't even realize I'm fooling myself, then I really pray and desire for them to be brought to the surface. For only then will I be able to let them go. And I pray to have the courage really to alter any unclear motive within me. And if it sounds like you're entering the monastery, please don't feel that way, because I can tell you it just makes every part of your experience so much fuller, so much brighter, so much more real, so much more fulfilling to let mind actually move you, to let it create the perception of the desires, and then let it create the desire within you so that it's coming from a clear place is the most incredible, most wonderful feeling in the world. And you just know from the beginning that it's going to meet with success. So it's a fantastic place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. And therefore, I can say with truth, let that infinite divine mind, which can reflect clearly upon itself, direct the focus of my mind, direct the motive of my prayer, the cause of my action, because so directed, I couldn't pray amiss. I couldn't pray incorrectly. Couldn't ask for anything that wasn't clear. I know this is possible. I can and will respond clearly, and no ulterior motives will be found in me. You have to really dig deep, for somewhere in the depth of my being, I am feeling the imprint of the divine mind. My response to it is automatic. It's clear. Nothing in me allows an impure or material response. And as such, I really am rewarded. What am I hearing? I'm really hearing that imprint of the divine subjective being saying, and let there be the spirit of mind, you know? But I'm feeling it, you know, in my own terms. In other words, let my desires come through. It has it within itself. How can I allow this, right? Well, point number three, I have to have the humility change myself. And so the third question is obvious, right? Have I sufficient humility to change? And if that isn't a whopper of a question, I don't know what is. Okay? Am I willing to allow the transformation of my beliefs, the alteration of the images of my thought? It's hard. Is it possible for me to remain open enough, flexible enough, to reflect the images of a divine mind in my thought? And if I shouldn't happen to be open enough, or flexible enough, or humble enough, then I really, really, really pray to be. If there's any resistance in me to change, I really desire to let it go. I want to turn away from old beliefs and limited points of view. I long for an ever higher sense of prayer. So, let that necessary humility be present in me. Let me respond instinctively to the impulses and images of that divine mind, and may I please let go of my limited mental perceptions and perceive only the qualities of mind. Anything less is only a mental perception. Okay. I know that I can. I trust that I can be malleable enough to alter the images of my thought until they are in keeping with the images of mind. And I can't have any sense of pride in former knowledge that would keep me from this. See, that's the problem. We get very puffed up with what we already know, even about science. For this flexibility, this openness, really is intrinsic to the nature of my real intelligence. The humility I have appeared to seek is really ever-present within me, no matter how disguised it has seemed to be. And as I open to the true images of mind, I am freed from false imaginings, be they pleasant or nightmarish. We're all very willing to give up the nightmarish ones, but it's the pleasant ones we don't want to give up, right? And in so doing, my mind is calm and I am blessed. Isn't it incredible? You can see and feel the power of working this way with the epitomes. You can take any epitome in the textbook wherever you appear to be working out a problem at the time and do what I have done. Turn it into a spiritual question that you present to your own consciousness. Desire to align with the fact of that epitome or the function of that epitome, and then claim with all your heart that you're there. You know? Let the law of life, truth, and love guide your search, and let it establish within you the true fact. In this case, that law of life, truth, and love is bringing forth its light, its mind, and it is wiping out the darkness of ignorance. So as I address these first three questions, which correlate with mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul, they're really very practical because they are wiping out within me my ignorance in those three positions.